the pro-life standpoint from the male perspective, young male perspective, just in general, what suggestions do you have? How can we properly enunciate that message? Mm-hmm.
That's good. So answering your question, you have no rights in the abortion conversation. You have no rights to your unborn child. Strangely enough, though, if your girlfriend or partner, whoever, was to place your child for adoption, you do have rights there. You would actually have to legally terminate your rights. But as far as an abortion, if she wants to kill your child, you're out of luck. So that's kind of the legal part of it. I encourage men, look, this is not just a woman's issue. I think when I became pro-life, my husband was like, good. You like women's stuff. Go be pro-life. But you know what? I've only known one woman to get pregnant without the physical presence of a man. And we need men to step up and to stand in this gap. And I'm telling you, the majority of saves that we have in Austin come from men. Because these women, they are so desperate for a strong, positive male figure in their life. And they will listen to you. If you go out to the clinics and you start witnessing to them and talking to them and being compassionate, merciful, they want that. They have this desire for it. That's something that's innate in women. We want that. We want a strong male figure in our lives, and they're waiting for that. So men, you do have a place in this movement. And so you may not have a lot of rights in the abortion part of the movement, but you have a huge voice in the pro-life movement. And so I encourage all of you to get involved in some way and to figure out how you can best be used.
Thank you.
Hi.
I speak in public, I'm nervous.
Oh.
but my question, you mentioned earlier Feminists for Life.
Yep.
Is a group that I've been interested in because they state that the original feminists were actually pro-life and pro-Graham, like Susan B. Anthony and all her cohort.
Okay, yep.
And their idea is women deserve better. Mm-hmm. And they go on to college campuses, they have a big college outreach. But listening to you, I'm thinking, they don't ever put God into it. And I was wondering, what's your opinion of their group, and can it be done without bringing faith or God into it?
Yeah, they are a secular organization. There's another group called Secular Pro-Life. I think they're great organizations. I think that, I'm not pro-life because I believe in God, right? I'm pro-life because science and reason and technology tell me that I should be pro-life, right? And God is an integral part of my life, but that's not the main reason that I'm pro-life. And so I think that we need, like I was saying, I think we need to have better arguments, and I think that they can give a really great perspective because they're not coming at it from a religious point of view. They're coming at it strictly from a scientific and medical point of view, which I think is important for all of us to learn, to be able to articulate that type of secular message. Because most of the time, if I am talking to someone who is rabidly pro-abortion, they are going to be a secular person. And so I need to have that sort of argument in my mind all the time. So I completely support those types of groups. There's a group actually called Atheists for Life. The funny thing about that group is that I was talking to their president one day, and I said, look, you guys are great, but you can't keep up with your numbers because all of you keep becoming Christians. I think that life parallels faith, and I think eventually many people who do consider themselves secular pro-lifers, they do end up becoming Christians because those two things just fit together and they make sense.
Thanks.
Hi.
Praying at abortion clinics, I've been impressed by the commitment and the sincerity of the pro-abortion escorts there, and I just wondered if you saw any value or if there's any way of reaching out to them or if you've had much success with that.
Yeah, we have. I tell people, always talk to your audience, right? So if you have a Planned Parenthood escort out there, an abortion clinic escort, number one, please do not call them a death escort. And if you do it, don't do it in front of me. There is no benefit in using inflammatory language when you are trying to bring about conversion. It just doesn't work. And I've heard people out there at the clinics call them death squads to their faces. that person will never have a conversion and join our movement, because they will dig in their heels and they will see us as the enemy, and that's not what we want. I don't want to bring out the worst in these clinic workers and you know, volunteers. I want to bring out the best in them, and I want to show them that there is something better for them out there. I don't want to tick them off. That's not my goal. My goal is to bring about conversion, and the only way we can do that is to be compassionate and factual and truthful and sincere when we talk to them. And so I think that, yes, I can tell you we have had success with talking to them. You should know that 70% of people who work for Planned Parenthood have had abortions themselves. So we're dealing with hurting people, and that includes the volunteers as well. Most of the time volunteers don't really know what's going on inside of the clinics. They just buy the talking points, and so they may have had an abortion themselves, and they're working there, they're volunteering there because they're trying to justify their own abortion. So I think we do need to be careful, we do need to be very compassionate, and we need to continually offer healing for them, and we have seen success in that.
Thanks. First of all, I just want to say how excited that I am that you're a big fan. I follow you on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. You mentioned before that there's a big disconnect for people who are working in the abortion clinics. And I was wondering if you could elaborate exactly what fuels that. For the most part, how are they able to shut down that sensitive side that we all have and justify it in their minds?
Yeah, so I think primarily it is because most of them are post-abortive themselves or have experienced an abortion. There's been something that's happened to them. Either they had a sister that had an abortion that was in this crazy situation and felt like that was her only option, or at some point in time they've probably been backed into a corner where they have been sold the lie that abortion was the only option. And so in order to continue to justify that in their mind, they have to make the disconnect. It's necessary. Like I said, we're dealing with very wounded people inside of the industry by and large, and we need to, you know, it's funny, I go out to clinics sometimes and I see the sidewalk, and I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just saying, I see the sidewalk counselors, and they'll be so compassionate with the women that are coming out who have just had abortions, and they're just so sweet, and we're going to be here for you, you know, no matter what, and we want to help you, and here's some information. The abortion worker come out and they're like, baby killer, you know. That's not good. You know, we need to have compassion for them too. I can tell you, in my ministry that I run now, for abortion clinic workers, we've had 84 abortion workers come to us through our ministry and find that redemption and that healing. None of them have come because people were ugly to them or were uncaring or shoved a sign in their face or anything. They've come because they believed that the pro-life people that reached out to them understood a part of their pain. And that's why they come to us. That's why they come to this side. And I think the disconnect is deep because many of them have had abortions, and so that's the only way they can justify their pain.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, last question. Here we go. Make it a good one.
Oh. Well, thank you for coming. I should also thank your husband, because as a mother, I know the sacrifice he makes too. And you had a very good point on educating yourself. I worked at a pregnancy center and learned about abortion, so I could say what abortion is, because you're right, people don't know. Now, I don't know what to say. Susan G. Komen, support, you know, breast cancer awareness. Oh, yeah, we give to Planned Parenthood, who does free mammograms. And I know it's not true. I mean, I don't have any facts of, you know, do they do mammograms? Do they do screenings? What does Planned Parenthood do as far as getting money?
Okay, so here's something to know. Planned Parenthood is a level one breast cancer service center. That means that they are not allowed to provide any sort of breast screening, treatment, or diagnosis outside of a manual breast exam. Okay, you should also know that Planned Parenthood, these manual breast exams are not performed by physicians. They don't have physicians on staff unless they are doing abortions that day. You will be receiving your manual screening from a mid-level clinician, like a PA or a midwife or a nurse practitioner. They don't have any doctors on staff there at these clinics. So the NP, which is fine. I mean, I go to an NP sometimes. There's no problem with that. But she has a physician to consult with that's there at the facility. Well, that doesn't happen at Planned Parenthood. There is no physician for these mid-level clinicians to consult with. So they are a level one breast cancer service center. They cannot perform mammograms. They're not licensed. They cannot perform breast ultrasounds. They cannot perform breast biopsies. They cannot do anything except manual breast exams. That's it. Planned Parenthood has a long-standing relationship with Susan G. Komen. In fact, the president, CEO Nancy Brinker of Susan G. Komen Foundation, sat on the board of Planned Parenthood North Texas, which operates a bunch of abortion clinics in Texas, for 15 years. So the ideology is very similar. Nancy Brinker and the people that work here, they believe in Planned Parenthood. They believe in the service that they're providing. They mm-hmm. fail to ever mention that abortion can possibly increase your risk of breast cancer. It kind of makes sense, right? And Susan G. Komen is a business. I mean, it's an industry, right? They're making tons of money. They have tons of staff, and their CEO is very well paid. So it makes sense for them to keep the business coming, right, by promoting abortion, knowing that abortion could negatively impact the breast health of these women coming to them. So it's kind of this like cyclical sort of thing that we see. Planned Parenthood, when Susan G. Komen gives money, they give money in forms of cash grants to Planned Parenthood. Komen will say, and maybe they really believe this, that it is earmarked for breast exams. That's not true. It goes into the general operating fund of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood doesn't have a breast health fund. I mean, they don't do breast health. So they don't have a breast health fund. So that's something that's really, we have to be careful, right? And I tell you, do not cooperate with evil. You know, I mean, I hate breast cancer. I watched my aunt die. She struggled for 9 years. I hate it. And people will say, oh, but, you know, but don't you want to give to memorialize her? No, because that gift would mean that I'm using her name to help take the lives of innocent children. No, that's not the way that I want to memorialize her. So I think we have to be very careful. I think that we have to be very cognizant of the fact that many women who have survived breast cancer do not know about these ties. And so we don't want to just get in their face with it and, you know, say, don't go to Komen. You know, we don't want to be like that, but we do need to continue to educate and to let people know. I mean, just last year, Komen gave Planned Parenthood a $700,000 grant. So, I mean, the proof is there. The ties are out there, and pink is everywhere. So, I'm not saying to avoid all pink, because not all breast cancer organizations are bad, but Susan G. Komen is definitely one to avoid. So we just have to be vigilant and making sure that we are separating ourselves from that. So I'm going to be around afterwards. So if you have a book you want me to sign or you have any questions, I'll be up here at the front. So thank you very much, everybody.
And very moving. There are different ways that we can get involved in fighting abortion. One of those ways is voting. In about 3 weeks, we have an election. There's one candidate running for governor who is very pro-life and is being attacked and being assaulted as an enemy of women because he's pro-life. And he happens to be Catholic, too. On the other side, there is a candidate who is running against him and who is calling him an enemy of women because he's pro-life. So I'm not going to endorse my good friend Ken Cuccinelli. That's because I baptized three of his children, and I will not do that. But I will remind you that it's kind of useless to talk the talk if you don't walk the walk, and if you don't walk into a voting booth and vote the way that you should, and to get your friends to. This election is going to turn on voter turnout. And if the pro-lifers go out and vote and get their friends to go out and vote. It's real simple to do. You know, you don't have to stand in front of a clinic. You don't have to do anything very difficult. You just do what you're really, really morally required to do, vote. Okay, enough of that. No, not enough of that, but I'll stop. Abby mentioned 40 Days for Life. Over here we have a display on 40 Days for Life. Our parish has been very active in that, but we still have some empty spaces on our sign-up sheet. So I expect the first movement tonight after this to move over there, and to sign up all the open spots, and then turn it over on the other side if you need to, and write down that you're going to know. You're going to come. Also, we have a lot of food in the back still, so before you leave, make sure you stop and eat some food, please. And finally, if you would, we try to have several of these talks by excellent speakers during the year, and it would be helpful if you could help me defray the cost of those talks, if you could, in the back, right by the food is a basket. You can put some money in there, or on your way out, very convenient for you, is another basket. So I would appreciate that. All right, now let us close with a prayer and entrust Abby to the prayers of our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for coming tonight.
Got it?